welcome to your daily briefing, April the 7th, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for this new day. We thank you again for all that you continue to do for us each day. We thank you for keeping us aware of all of the circumstances that surround us, recognizing that you have foretold all of what we see occurring. As we go forward today, we ask that you would help us as we continue to prepare ourselves for your son's soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on yesterday, a couple of events have occurred in quick succession. One, we've gotten news that Representative Nunes, who was in charge of the intelligence investigatory part of the congressional representation, has recused himself, and he's no longer going to be a part of that investigation. We will talk some more about that as we go forward. But we are, most of us are aware of all of what has occurred where that is concerned. We remember that tweet made by the President of the United States about the fact that the former president had tapped his phone. And, of course, he was not able to produce any evidence where that was concerned. What happened after that, I would imagine that in an attempt to substantiate that claim, Nunes, Representative Nunes, got some information from two of the staff members in the White House and had a couple of news conferences in which he tried to make it look as if the president's claim was legitimate. However, he found himself under much pressure. He did not follow the steps that ought to have been taken anyway, did not share it with his committee. And so after all of the pressure that has been placed on him, he has recused himself. And now they will be able to do an investigation as to, well, first, they're doing an investigation as to whether or not he, Representative Nunes, has done any sort of illegal looking at information that was not his responsibility to look at. And then they will be able to continue with their investigation regarding the involvement of the Russians in the 2016 election. The other interesting piece of information that we received yesterday is published in the Washington Post. At least it's practically all over the news, but it's published in the Washington Post, and the article that we're going to take a look at today is written by Robert Costa and Abby Phillip, published on April the 5th. And the title of the article is Stephen Bannon Removed from National Security Council. Now, Stephen Bannon has been, and I'm sure continues to be, incredibly influential where the president is concerned. Stephen Bannon is a Dominionist. He's one of these Reconstructionists. He believes that the nation should have a Christian base. This is the gentleman who, up until the time he took the responsibility with the administration, ran the website Breitbart, which is known to be an alt-right, that would be an extremely far-reaching right organization, having some rather interesting connections. But he found himself on the National Security Council. He really didn't have a resume that would qualify him to do that, but his position that was given him by the president was based upon the fact that all through the campaign and coming all the way down, he was a very close advisor to the president. It is Stephen Bannon who had this plan to deconstruct the administrative state. Now, let me just make it clear that because he has been removed from the National Security Council does not mean that he has lost any of his influence. But General McMasters, who is the appointed person in charge of National Security Council, has been wanting to make sure that he had the people that he wanted there. Apparently there has been quite a struggle where that is concerned. But now it has been announced that Mr. Bannon will no longer be a part, official part, let me use the word official, part of the National Security Council. Let me read some of the paragraphs in this article for you. This is the Washington Post, April the 5th, 2017, says the following. President Trump on Wednesday removed controversial White House chief strategist Stephen K. Bannon from the National Security Council, part of a sweeping staff reshuffle that elevated key military and intelligence officers to greater roles on the council and left Bannon far less involved in shaping the administration's day-to-day national security policy. The restructuring reflects the growing influence of National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, an Army three-star general who took over the post after retired General Michael Flynn was ousted in February, and is increasingly asserting himself over the flow of national security information in the White House. The new order establishing the structure of the council, which was published in the Federal Register, puts McMaster in overall charge of both the National Security Council and the Homeland Security Council, headed by Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bosschot. Trump's original order had placed the NSC and HSC on equal footing with McMaster and Bosschot as co-equals who could convene and chair meetings of principals and set agendas. Now, Bosschot can call and chair meetings only at the sole discretion of McMaster, according to the order. Even as Bannon has been removed from the list, invitees to principals and deputy meetings have expanded to include the Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategy. The post is currently held by Dinah Powell, an Egyptian-born former National Security Officer in the Bush administration, and a Goldman Sachs official whose influence within the West Wing has grown rapidly. McMaster has become a rising and blunt force within the White House, and he has made clear to several top officials and to the president that he does not want the NSC to have any political elements. McMaster has also expressed that while he understood Bannon's role, he believed it was not necessary for the president to have him there as the NSC was reorganized under McMaster's leadership. So Mr. Bannon has been removed. There are some other pieces of the news which make the point that Mr. Bannon was not happy with this. Some of the publications actually make the point that he threatened to resign or quit at one point. After he was asked this, Mr. Bannon said that that was false, that was not true at all. Continuing the article a little bit, it says the move followed days of discussions with top aides, including Bannon, about the scope of the advisor's role moving forward, and it reflects McMaster's more complete takeover of the council and its operations, according to five officials familiar with the decision. Two senior White House officials said Bannon's departure was in no way a demotion and that he had rarely attended meetings since being placed on the council. They and others interviewed for this story spoke on the condition of anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly on the issue. The news of Bannon's removal was first reported by Bloomberg News. We shall see how this plays out. But, of course, this is a monumental shift. Sure that you know by now that Mr. Bannon's influence on the president and pretty much everything else that has been happening there has been quite strong. He was the one who, in that meeting they had with the Freedom Coalition, the guys on the extreme right of the Republican Party who would have killed that that bill concerning the health care. He had a meeting with them, and he told them they had no choice. They just had to vote yes, and that would be the end of the story. Some of the guys left that meeting, making the point that the last time someone told them what they had to do was their father, and they didn't do it then either. So I don't think he started off on a very good footing with the Freedom Coalition, even though the president has since that blamed them and threatened them to run candidates against them, all of those who voted, who would have voted no and would not have voted for the bill. So that's the departure of Mr. Bannon, which is can have quite a few ramifications. But of course, let me hasten to make the point that he is still functioning as a close advisor, but his departure from the National Security Council has been established and published. There's one other item that I'd like for us to look at today, and you've probably heard about the fact that North Korea is creating some very serious problems. They have, Kim Jong-un, for that matter, has been setting off his missiles and threatening to see if he can reach the United States, which would be in the Seattle area, I would imagine. That would be the closest to him. The president of the United States is to have a meeting with the president of China, President Xi, and one of the things that he plans to discuss with him has to do with North Korea and trying to get China to put some pressure on North Korea. Apparently, China has some connection with the North Koreans, even though China always claims that they can't make the Chinese, the North Koreans do anything that they want. But apparently, this is going to be an issue. There is an article in the CNN website dated April the 5th, 2017, which says North Korea fires ballistic missile as Trump and Xi prepares to meet. That president's name is spelled X-I. Let me read a few paragraphs for you. It says, ahead of the first meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping, North Korea fired a ballistic missile off the coast of the Korean Peninsula. The missile, which fell into the Sea of Japan, also known as the East Sea, on Wednesday morning, is one of several the country has test-fired in recent months. Even before the missile test, North Korea's nuclear program was expected to be an important talking point with the president of China and Donald Trump. He's got his hands full with this. And, of course, we talked in our last session yesterday about what happened in Syria and the fact that they let off some chemical weapons that killed about 100 people, and had another 200 or so who are still suffering the results of that. There's some people who are actually mentioning sarin gas, but that has not really come from the chemists. However, so the new president of the United States is facing the situation in Syria, trying to make a decision as to what he should do where that is concerned. He has already said that he is not going to ring a bell in advance, not going to let his enemies know what he's going to do. So I guess we should stand by and wait to see what his options are going to be. I don't know how many diplomatic options he has. So I do believe that anything that he has left might be military in content. So we'll see exactly how that works. Quite a lot of responsibility for him to take on at this moment. What is happening in North Korea? What is happening in Syria? And still trying to shuffle the White House around. We'll see how that works out also. We are in a very tenuous and very transitional period, but we can be confident that God is going to protect us if we walk with him. We can actually trust him to protect, and there is nothing happening that God does not know way in advance. And so we can trust him to lead us in the right direction. Today, as you go forward, just place yourself in his care. Allow yourself to be led by him. Ask him to guide you so that you might guide your children in his name. We thank you, Father, for keeping us aware of the circumstances that are around us. And we thank you also that we can trust you to guide us in the right path. We go forward today having faith and confidence in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, April the 7th, 2017.